Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Look at the verses coming down to verse 5. Therefore, being justified, verse 1, by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You see what he says there in that process? He says, we're justified, we have peace with God, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We glory in tribulations. Why? Because there's this process. Tribulation worketh patience. Have you been through enough in your life now that you've seen to slow down in a bad time because you know on the other end of it, God's going to work it out? You know, I have. I didn't have this much gray hair last year. And patience, experience. You get older, you go through some things you've learned. We say about people that minister and things like that, it's good for them to have some life experience because they see how God works through things. And experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, then this, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We're going to talk about that love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. But before we do, let's have a word of prayer and pray now for God to bless this service, and let's thank him for what he's done. Brian, would you pray for us, please? Amen. 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 You know, love is the very nature of God, and so the more of God you get on the inside, and you got all of him that you're going to get when you got saved, but the more control, the more that he fashions himself in our lives, the more love that is going to be seen in our hearts. Because love is the very nature of God. God is love, the Bible says. We love him because he first loved us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The very essence of God is love. Not perverted like this world talks about today. He says, as a matter of fact, the Bible shows you that before the coming of the Lord, when iniquity abounds, the love of many waxes cold because iniquity abounds. There's a lot of talk about love, but it's not truly the demonstrated love of God Almighty. Not unless you're saved and not unless the Holy Spirit is shedding that love abroad in our hearts. Now, he's in us. He's in us. He wants to manifest himself in us. He wants the world to know that he's in us. He said about those disciples, he said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples and that you have love one for another. And it's not because they were having a love-in, you know, some hippie deal. It's because God got in there and put his love in there and the Holy Spirit got in there and it was shed abroad and said, that has to be a disciple of Christ. Nobody can love like that. But the question is, if that love is shed abroad in our hearts and it is to be manifested, you know, how is that love manifested? Do men become more effeminate and, you know, oh, I love you, I love you. You know, you hear a lot of that today. I don't think so. I think the Bible is very clear on how that is manifested. That love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts is going to demonstrate in your life. And there are some verses. We'll leave this text and go to those verses so you can and I can see for ourselves what the Bible says, and you'll know. Look in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19. When the Holy Spirit is shedding abroad the love of God in our hearts, 1 John chapter 4 verse 19 tells us that we are going to love God. We love him because he first loved us. One of the manifestations is you're going to love God more. Now, let me ask you something. I know that you loved God when he saved you, but truly, you've been saved a good while now. Can you testify that your love for God has grown over time? One of the ways you can see that is your love for other things has dwindled, and He's becoming more preeminent in your heart. He certainly has been in mine, but that's not because I've put forth the right kind of effort. That's because God Almighty in me, through the Holy Spirit, is shedding abroad that love for God. You know, this world hates God. This world hates God, and this world hates what God stands for, and it's turned its back on it. This world loves its idols and even uses words to express that. Oh, I love that singer. Oh, I love that football team. Oh, I love that sport. Oh, I love that. Oh, I love money or whatever. And God says, you know what? When you love me, that thing comes out, and you're unashamed to tell Him. You know you love Him. And the more the Holy Spirit is shedding abroad the love that God has put in there, the more that love is going to be directed to God. You know something I've seen in my life? I've seen it in the lives of other people. The more you love God, the more the other things you're supposed to love are loved. It's a strange thing. You would think, okay, well, if I put all that kind of love on God, I won't have love to give to somebody else. You won't have love to give to somebody else until you do love God. Look at First John chapter 4, look at verse 20. When you love God, when that Holy Spirit is shedding abroad the love of God, not only will you love God, but look at this, you'll love the brethren. Verse 20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? You know what will happen? The more you fall in love with God, the more you're going to love the brethren. Now let me ask you something honestly. How lovable are you? And how lovable are some of the people that you know around you if it weren't for the love of God? Isn't that amazing? When that Holy Spirit gets in there and you're a child of God, and another person's a child of God, and it's truly the love of God, that'll link up brothers. You know what holds a congregation together? Love. In Colossians, you don't need to turn there. In Colossians, and I pray this for me, I pray this for our church. He says, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. You know something? I realize that one of the strongest forces on this earth is the body of Christ. And the devil has attacked that body since the day the Lord brought it in and splintered it up with all these denominations and all these other kinds of doctrines and all these strange things and all these splits and splinters. And if he's been doing that for 2,000 years, what makes me think he wouldn't try to do it right here? The greatest defense we have against that is to love God and love each other, which would bond this thing in perfectness. And we need that. We need that. Don't ever, listen, if something comes up in your heart that causes you to have some sort of friction with another person, you know what to do about that? You first go to God and be sure that your love for God is as strong as it needs to be. Because I've seen something in life. When people start to fall out with each other, it's usually a symptom as an indication that you've started to fall out of love with God. They flow from each other. So go check your heart with God first and make sure your love of God is as strong as it can be, prompted and led by the Spirit of God. And then after you've checked that out, if there's still a little friction, go to your brother or sister after diligent prayer and reconcile that difference. Let me tell you something. There's no problem that you have with another person that can't be solved by going to him and getting it fixed. Really, it may be hard to do. A brother offended is harder to be won than the bars of a castle. It can be hard to do, but it's not impossible. Now, I don't know of one situation like that exists in our church whatsoever, but the day may come. It may be here and I didn't know about it. To my heart's knowledge, there's not a single existence like that in my own heart. But if it were, I'd follow the same advice I'm giving you. Go to the Lord first and make sure that love is strong, and go to your brother, your sister, and solve and reconcile that problem. Make sure that charity holds us in the bond of perfectness. Listen, if Jesus Christ could love us so much that he could reconcile us to him in the time that we were enemies and ungodly, he can easily reconcile two brothers who are in Christ. We're in the same body. Or two sisters who are in Christ. Let me tell you something else. When the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts, you're going to notice it because of an increase in love for God, an increase in your love for the brethren. And I'll tell you something else you're going to see. You're going to see a decrease in your fear. You're going to see a decrease in your fear. Look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Now, you know what? Love will never abolish the fear of God, because those are partners. You're never going to love God without fearing God. You're never going to fear God without falling in love with Him. Those are partners. You're not talking about that kind of fear, but you know one thing I'm not afraid of? I am not afraid of hell. No fear about that at all. Well, it hadn't had that for a long time, you can understand. But that's a demonstration of some things I oughtn't to fear. We've said over and over again that one of the things you're going to see about the news, and what you're going to see about sales and telephone calls you get at your house that you don't want, radios and all that other kind of stuff, and internet and everything else, this society is driven by fear. But you know something? When you love God and you know you are loved by God and the Spirit of God has filled you, they are not going to scare you with that stuff. That's what he said, when you really love God. Listen, don't you know God loves you enough he's going to take care of you in that stuff? You look to that Bible, there are people that have gone through times far worse than we've gone through here. God took care of them. And many times they were his children by virtue of the fact of being in the nation of Israel. But they weren't his children in the same kind of relationship that you have with him now, where you can call him Abba Father. Really and truly, listen, he loves you. You have children, some of you. And truly, you would do anything within your power to prevent them from coming in harm's way, even if it meant your own death. Now, if you think God could put that kind of love in your heart for your children, don't you think he has that kind of love for you? See, that perfect love, that love there cast out that fear. So you're going to see an increase for the love of God. You're going to see an increase for the love of brethren. You'll see a decrease in fear. I don't usually fill my head with the stuff on there, but I check in from time to time just to see what's going on. But they don't scare me. And I don't say that to be cocky. I realize that our country will go through hard times. But that Bible showed us in Romans chapter 5, if you go through tribulation, you're going to get some patience, and when you do, you're going to get some experience, and when you do, you're going to get some hope, and that hope makes you not ashamed and allows the Holy Spirit to shed abroad in your heart more love than you had. We pray in this church for the persecuted church. And we really don't know persecution here. You've had a bump in the road like we all have. Some things were pretty tough when you were going through them, but you've lived long enough past them. You look back, really wasn't as hard as you thought it was when you're going through it. There are some people that are truly being persecuted. You read over there in Hebrews chapter 12 and look at that cloud of witnesses in there, or that in Hebrews chapter 11, that cloud of witnesses, some of them were sawn asunder. Some of them had to run around in skins and hide in caves and dens and had to die themselves just to save their own kids. Now, let me tell you something. Some people have gone through some terrible, terrible persecution. One pastor had a church that was going through persecution. They had to take the church underground. The government came in, took all their property, said, you can't be here anymore. So they took the church underground. You know what? They'd meet at midnight and pray. They'd meet at off hours and off times, and they would witness covertly, that is, you know, quietly and under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. People were getting saved. Church growing underground. Finally, that old government was overthrown. Another one came in. That thing lifted. They could go back and start going to church. About a year after that thing was over, that pastor said to his congregation, would to God we were back under persecution. We were living for Jesus back in those days. Don't be afraid of something that God might have to take this country through in order to deal with it, and that we have to go through with it because we live here. Don't worry about that. God loves you. And you don't have to worry about that. The more you love him, the more that fear will go down. I'll tell you something else. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. When the love of God is shed abroad in your heart, you can see it for yourself. You'll increase your love for God. You'll increase your love for the brethren. Your fear will decrease. And watch this. You'll love to give. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Well, what's he talking about? You know the context. We're going to be having a missions conference here next month. I'm sure this passage will get preached. We don't have a conference preacher, so it may or may not. We've got some missionaries that will be here to preach, but he's talking about them following the lead of Macedonia that gave, look at that in verse 2. They were in a great trial of affliction. The abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. He said, in so many words, he said, Corinthians, the Macedonians are putting you to shame. You got the money and won't give it. They didn't have any and gave it. He got down there, he said, I'm not speaking by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, speaking of Macedonia, and to prove the sincerity of your love. When you really love, it's not hard to give. The more the Holy Spirit has shed abroad the love of God in your hearts and in my heart, the more fun it is to give. That's why he says in the next passage in chapter 9, he said, God loveth a cheerful giver. You know what? That thing goes hand in hand. You give, God loves you because you're a cheerful giver. You love God. It just doesn't ever seem to quit. People, one of the reasons that I've been so careful with preaching on giving and things like that. I know in order to preach all the counsel of God, that subject is major and it has to come up and has to be preached on from time to time. But he said, when you give cheerfully, not grudgingly or of necessity, and never try to put a guilt trip over your head. You know why? It destroys your love. That's a man putting another man under intimidation to compel him to do something against his will. We're better off to get each other to fall in love with God, and giving is a natural consequence of it then. It just flows gladly. You just open your wallet and your house and everything you have to the Lord and say, whatever you want is yours. I am glad to do it. And the next thing you know, you look back on that and say, how in the world did that happen? And God just blessed that love. It's a strange thing to me. You know what the money in your back pocket is worth. I mean, you can feed yourself by going and taking that currency, but only so long as anybody else is willing to accept it. I've got currency in my pocket right now. I don't know if you've ever studied it before. I sure don't want to detract from the message, but the top of that bill right there says Federal Reserve note. You know what that means? That's a debt obligation right there. And somebody is willing to accept that in exchange for lunch today. That was a strange thing. It's worthless when you think about it. And as long as people are willing to accept this as a medium of exchange, it's fine. The day they say, I don't want that anymore, it's over. Right? And now God takes that thing that's worthless, only has value in the fact that somebody else is willing to do it, allows you to give some of it, says you're going to lay up treasure for yourself in heaven. How in the world can you allow somebody to put something in there that's worthless and give you an eternal reward for it? Wow, that's a strange thing. Well, I found out about the secret of that deal. I said, give me all you can. I'm in. Sign me up. Everything I own down here rusts or breaks or goes away or somebody wants to steal it or has to be maintained. Not up there. Jesus Christ is in charge of that. He's a good treasure. You know what? And the more you love God, the more all that... That's what he said. He said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. And it's amazing how that whole perspective changes. And you absolutely don't just give because it needs to be done, because you love to. God so loved the world that he gave. You so love God that you give. It's totally, absolutely, spiritually natural that we should be that way. I'll tell you something else. When you fall in love with God, your love for God increases, your love for the brethren increases, your fear goes down, you love to give. And then look at this in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Something else that happens to us. The more you love God, the more you want to tell somebody else about him. Mark chapter 10, look at verse 17. You see, these things all flow out of love for God. Mark chapter 10, verse 17, when he was gone forth into the way, that's Jesus, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. That's a pretty cocky answer when you think about it. He's already talked to Jesus Christ, you know, like good buddy, good master. The Lord had to straighten him out on that. If I'm God, I'm good. But if I'm not God, what are you calling me good for? He got to straighten all that stuff out. All these have I observed my youth up. That's pretty cocky. But in spite of all that, look at the next verse. Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Isn't that something? and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up thy cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. In spite of that, Jesus loved him. I think probably one of the reasons that we have difficulty in the church these days with telling other people about the Lord Jesus Christ is it really that we're afraid to tell them? And probably isn't so much that we have a lot of distractions. I don't think we love sinners. And I think that's a reflection of our love for God. Don't you think? If we loved Him more, that love that Jesus demonstrated for that rich young ruler would be in our hearts toward sinners that don't know God when we have an opportunity to visit with them. Isn't that amazing? I think you could write all the programs, set up all the teams, get all the scripting you want to do, get people out trying to, you know, get a bus and go to the neighbors, do all that stuff. If it's not motivated by your love for God, in the end, it's not going to be worth very much. That's what Paul said. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he said, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, profiteth me nothing. If I go and I have the all prophecy and tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm as sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. That stuff, you know, he said, what's got to be in there is a love. And you know what? It's not something that we pray for, a love for sinners. It's a, God, help me to love you more so your Holy Spirit can shed abroad a love for you through me to a sinner that needs Jesus. And I believe something, God, believe God can do something with that. I remember years ago, you know, the fellow that led me to the Lord was Rocky Young, and I can remember him praying on those Wednesdays when we were in school, and he'd have his cheeks flooded with tears. Now, some men more naturally shed a tear than others. I believe that Rocky probably had an inclination toward that anyway, but I know one thing for sure. He loved those boys, and I know where that love came from. He loved God. And he could not fight back the tears. And I believe that was because the Holy Spirit in him just shed that love abroad in his heart. Was he a perfect man? Far from it. Was he a man that loved God? Most definitely. Did he love sinners? Couldn't help but do it any other way. You see? I don't think it's a reflection of our distractions and our other things or whipping up a love for sinners. We need to love God more. And He'll help us love them more. You know something else that will happen? Turn to John chapter 14. When the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, I'll tell you what else happens. You don't only read His words and keep up with your calendar. And listen, there's nothing wrong with that. He said, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. You ought to do that. He said, study to show thyself approved unto God. You ought to do that. But boy, there's a difference in doing that because it's on the schedule and doing it because you love God. John chapter 14, verse 23, look at this. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. You know why that Bible gets left behind sometimes if we don't get that reading done? It's an indication of our lack of love for God. And I'll tell you what, if you pour your heart out in love for God, that love will direct you into these words, because a man that loves Jesus Christ is a man that will keep those words. So obviously people say, well, you know, I got bit backslidden, and one of the things that caused me to get backslidden, and we used to do this when we'd go over to talk to the girls at the Jubilee. Remember that? I'd say to the girls, hey, how many of y'all, the dust started gathering on your Bible when you got backslidden? Oh, yeah, bless God, dust started gathering on. You know what? The dust started gathering there in the heart a long time before it started gathering on the Bible. You know, there are people that can come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening, and not increase in their love for God. And what happens is they get cold and hard and hypocritical, and you know what I'm talking about. They're doing it now just because they have to, and they got to keep up this image of faithfulness that is no longer kindled by a love for God in their hearts. And they get bitter and easily offended and critical. You know something? If you stay in love with God, nobody will have to call you and say, hey, you ought to be in church today. You'll want to be there. Why? Because somebody's going to take these words and preach these words, and God's going to speak to you. And there's nothing like hearing from God through His book. His book. So the more you love him, the more you're going to keep his words. And then one more thing. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. The more you love God, the more that love is shed abroad by the Holy Spirit in your heart. You're going to love the brethren, and people aren't going to scare you, not with stuff. You love to give and love to tell others how to be saved and love God's words. And then this, and this is hard. This is hard, but it's good. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that, what? Love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. You know, you have friends and I have friends right now that are going through things like Brother Murphy. You know, Brother Murphy, there is no more treatment for his disease. There's no more treatment for his liver transplant. He is now completely at the mercy of God. He has been anyway, but there were medical influences there at the same time. All that's gone now. No more treatments. Whatever happens to him, totally at God. People come to him and say, well, brother, you know, Romans 8:28 is in the Bible. He said, can I tell you something? To a man that's going through what I'm going through, if I die and leave my wife a widow and my children without a father and their children without a grandpa, Romans 8:28, it's hard to find comfort in that verse. I mean, to excuse what I'm going through by just saying, well, Romans 8:28, brother. Because it doesn't look good to a dying man that he's going to be leaving a widow. He can't see beyond his own influence in his own family. He can't see beyond the ministry that he had to prisoners or the ministry that he has to others that are sick. You know what he sees? He's checking out that the purpose of God is removing him from the work that he's done. How is a man like that going to get through that? I'll tell you, only one way. He's going to fall in love with God. It's the only way the Holy Spirit has got to shed abroad the love of God in his heart. And when he does, you know what a man can see? By experience and hope, he can see the goodness of God. In the midst of that storm. I was talking to him on the telephone the other day, and my brother, how things are going and so forth like that. And he said to me, he said, brother, God is so good. Now listen, you and I know in our heads that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. He knows by experience the goodness of God in the midst of that trial. He couldn't if he was mad at God for what he's into. He couldn't if he was thinking that God might leave his wife a widow. He couldn't if he could consider that there are some prisoners that aren't hearing the gospel through his voice anymore. He couldn't if he considered that he had to come home from the mission field and go through this 4 or 5 years of really debilitating health. But he's not looking at those things. He's looking at God. He wrote a book. I'm about to finish up the book. He sent it to another friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine, whose wife, you know who it is, Brother Soche. So he's been here before. His wife, Diane, couldn't accompany him because she's got the same thing that Brother Murphy has. And she's very sick, and I called over to talk to Brother Soche the other day, and she answered the phone. And I could tell when she answered the phone at 10:30 in the morning that she had been resting, and I felt bad that I'd called and interrupted her rest because I know that's what she needs right now. And for the next 25 minutes, she just began to talk to me. And I am telling you, she could not have faked that. She could not have scripted that. She just began to speak from her heart. And I said to her when Brother Soche got home and we had to stop our conversation, I said, I am so glad when I called that you answered the phone and not him. And I said, you know why? Because I actually today have heard the peace of God and the love of God and the joy of God in your heart. You can't fake that. She said, oh, brother, did you really hear that in my voice? I said, unmistakably. She said, well, I'll have you know God is good. He is so good. And she said, you're going to think I'm faking when I tell you this, but I'm not faking. I thank God for this illness. Brother, I would never know the depths of the love of God that I know today if it hadn't been for this. It's Romans 8:28. She's living it. She's living it. There's no other way to get through that unless the Holy Spirit can shed the love of God abroad in your heart through a situation like that. And then you'll know by experience that what he said in that verse is true, is absolutely true. So listen. As the Lord grows you up and takes you through things, and you've got to see the tribulations, and you've got to see the patience, and you've got to see the experience, and find the hope in those difficult situations and all that stuff. You let the love of God be shed abroad in your heart by the Spirit of God, who came to bear that fruit in your life, and watch Him do these things in your life where you love each other and love God and love that book, love lost sinners, and love God's goodness in the midst of a trial, and you will be amazed at God. That's what we need. That's what we need. We need to fall in love with God. Father, I thank you today for an opportunity to be encouraged by these words that are in your book. Go there and open up Scripture and let the Spirit of God speak about it for a little while. It's an amazing thing. Father, before we leave here tonight, Linda goes to the piano and plays a little for us. Father, I'm begging you now that you will cause each of us to catch a glimpse of the truth of what we've heard tonight and begin a process of allowing your Holy Spirit to direct your love through us toward you and your words and each other and these sinners and your goodness. We're not afraid of this old world. David said, I'm not afraid what flesh can do unto me. And I don't boast in my own strength. I'm boasting in your love. Bless this congregation, Father, with this kind of love for Jesus' sake. Amen.